Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a reminder about the nature of parables and how much fun that they can be. Like any story or example, it can be stretched to a point where like an old rubber band, it stops and stretching and just breaks. There are limits to what it can take from a parable, but this is an interesting one. It appears that Jesus might have been thinking of the text from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was talking in historic terms about the Babylonians and the rulers in Jerusalem who were confronting them, and the possibility, of course, that God had something else in mind. But that little phrase in there about birds making nests in its branches, the experts in the lectionary thought it was a great idea to include this as the first lesson. Jesus, of course, is not interested in history at this point. He's interested in something else, so allow us to mix a metaphor or something along the way, even though we are in danger of every English teacher correcting us about this, but we'll do it anyway. Jesus is describing the kingdom of God. Now there's another stuff going on here. Mark is beginning to set up and all of those and interesting little things, the so-called messianic secret of Mark that we find so and prevalent in the gospel. And he explains that Jesus does all his teaching by parables. That's interesting in terms of what it is that we are to learn. And so we come to this and we sit down and look at this and say, okay, what's here? But there's more to this than just a description. It's not as if Jesus is just describing the kingdom of God. He is demonstrating it. That by telling a parable, we ourselves are drawn into it as well. I would imagine that some of you have favorite books, and you go back and reread them over and over again, or at least your favorite parts. Some of them you know is the part that you love to read. Many of us might have favorite movies that are so good that they show up on TV. It's interesting that when the copyright on It's a Wonderful Life expired and suddenly it became really cheap for TV stations to show that. So instantly it became a success in the holiday season, a generation after it was first made. And people can get to some parts and know the dialogue already because they've seen it so often. Parables are much the same thing. We never get it all the first time. So we keep on coming back over and over and over again. Jesus reminds us that this is like in someone who plants seed upon the ground, and then what do? They go to sleep. And while they sleep, some things are happening. When we first moved here, to the area again in 2001, we found a home to rent. We told our kids, we'll put you in high school. We're not going to move until you're done, and then then we'll see what's up. So we rented a place that was the landlord lived next door, and in his backyard he had a horse and a steer. And he said, When he was growing up, his dad told him he should always try and find a way to make money while you sleep. So his plan was that while he slept, of course, this horse and this steer would continue to become an opportunity. I don't know what he had in mind for the horse, but we know what was intended for the steer. Ground chuck. In the same way, this particular person goes to sleep and comes back and finds out what God is up to. They go to sleep again and get up the next day and find out that God is still doing more. Goes to sleep again, gets up the next day, and finds this time there's a stock out there. And then the next day, perhaps, or a few weeks on down the road, then the bud, and then the grain, and then the full grain. It's all there, bit by bit. I myself have been amazed at how often I have gone back to these and stories that I've heard since I was a kid, and I still find new things. God is reminding us that beyond the simple message of growth, that God makes small things into big things, and that's important for us to know. We sometimes, in a time of transition, always wonder at the things we don't have. Guess what? God can use everything that is available right here and do just fine. So we have everything we need by God's hand. But even more, this is an invitation to come back to those central things again, to rediscover the really important things that we need to know, to understand that God continually invites us in and says there's even more than you thought, and to say in God's gracious way, wait for the full thing. There's a harvest that will be taken in, and it will be a wonderful thing. So we come to that tree, to that seed that has been planted, to that small mustard seed that becomes a great shrub that birds of the air can even build a nest there. And we recognize that God is doing new things in ways that we still don't even have a clue about. But that's just fine, because God invites us to come back next time. Tomorrow, after we've slept for a season, and to come back and to discover new things. This is indeed the kingdom of God. It's always new. As Paul says, we are a new creation. It's a way of discovering the good things that God has. Maybe it's just that our feeble little brains can't take it all in the first time. That's entirely possible. And so God says, come back. There's even more the next time. This is a parable that demonstrates in some way that God always has more to give and to offer, to extend in terms of hope, in terms of comfort, in terms of a sense of the future, and allows us to discover these when we come and listen to the Master. Amen.